بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We've been employing for the past two and a half days. This has been translated by our brother Abu Iyad there in Great Britain, Amjad Rafiq Hafizahullah. And this was posed to Sheikh Rabia on when we can call someone a Salafi. Sheikh Rabia explained during a speech concerning, and this is back in 2002, concerning Abu Muslima. And the answer from Sheikh Rabia was, no, don't say about a man that opposes the manhaj of the Salaf that he, yarhamakallah, don't say about a man that opposes the manhaj of the Salaf that he is a Salafi. And by the way, for those who don't know who Abu Muslima is, his name, his kunya is Abu Muslim, of course. His name is Abdullah Tawfiq. He's the imam of the masjid called Masjid Ahl Sunnah in East Orange, New Jersey, in the United States. I know him very well. We were classmates. When he came to America, and there's some brothers who also, Abu Muhammad al-Maghribi faults me for this, and some other brothers, not Abu Muhammad al-Maghribi, and another brother, Shaheed al-Maghribi, he says, if it wasn't for you, Dawood, we wouldn't have known about Abu Muslim, because you're the one who introduced us to him. So I know him well, and the statements of the ulama, some who are still alive and some who are dead, are crystal clear about Abu Muslim, who, by the way, is still closely associated with some of the masajid, even here in Toronto, Canada, like Masjid Khalid ibn Walid. And Sheikh Rabia, Hafizahullah Ta'ala, at that particular time, says, we've seen the likes of you before. You are anta hizbiyun mustatir. You are a hidden hizbi. We've seen the likes of you before. And of course now, he's no longer hidden. He's been exposed. It's just like the Sheikh said. So this question was posed specifically about Abu Muslima. But in general, whoever the kufi fits, let him wear it. So when he was asked the question about when can someone be a Salafi, pertaining specifically to Abu Muslima, he said, no, don't say about a man that opposes the manhaj of the Salaf that he is Salafi. And I stop again. A few years back, I was in Sheikh Rabia's house after we ate lunch with him. I was walking out of the second floor, his room where he usually entertains the people to feed them. And I told him, I said, Sheikh Rabia, there are people who are still saying that you took back, because Abu Muslim himself put that out. And this is what Hizbis do. They like to do like the CIA. They like to throw out disinformation. Things that are not true, so people can become confused. Did you hear that? Did you hear this? So I told Sheikh Rabia, when I was walking from the second floor to leave the house, I said, Sheikh, they're saying that you took back what you said about Abu Muslima. He turned quickly to me, and he took his finger, and he touched my chest with it. He said, you go back and you tell Abu Muslima I didn't take anything back. He was punching me in my chest like this. He said, you go back, Dawood, and you tell them I didn't take back anything about Abu Muslima, and I'm not taking anything back. He's still doing like this. Until he repents as clear as the sun is up in the sky. That's what he said to me. So the Sheikh says, no, don't say about a man that opposes the manhaj of the Salaf that he is a Salafi. Don't say that a man is Salafi until you are sure that he is upon the manhaj. He is honored by it and calls to it. He loves and unites based upon it and hates and separates because of it. This is a Salafi. But someone who claims that he is Salafi and defends Ahlul Bid'ah and defends them against Ahlus Sunnah, this is not a Salafi whatsoever, whoever he is, Arab or non-Arab, in the East or in the West, because Salafiyya has special qualities. Salafiyya has signs. Salafiyya has affairs that differentiate its people from others. In wala and bara and aqidah and da'wah and the stances that they take. This is the end of the quote of a phone link up between our brothers at Masjid Ahlul Hadith in Philadelphia and the Sheikh. Secondly, before we go back to the book, this is a statement from Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Errors in minhaj occur due to underlying errors in aqidah. He said, the question was posed, minhaj, may Allah bless you, he said, is based and built upon the aqidah. This is when the Sheikh was asked the question regarding aqidah and minhaj and whether the Salaf used to distinguish between the two of them. He said, al-minhaj, barakallahu feek, mabniyun ala al-aqidah, faman kanat aqidatuhu salima, fasayakunu minhajuhu saliman bila shak. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما ذكر افتراق الأمة على 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة قالوا من هي يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من كان على مثل ما أنا عليه وأصحابي. منهج, may Allah bless you, Shaykh Uthaymeen said, is built upon the aqidah, so whoever's aqidah is sound, then his minhaj will be sound without doubt. Because you know there are people who try to make a distinction between the aqidah and the minhaj. I know he was a young man at that time. He's a little bit older now, but still much younger than myself. When I was there for that short time in Medina, he used to say, I'm a Salafi Sufi. I'm a Salafi Sufi. And now he's wreaking havoc in Massachusetts, in the United States, with his Salafi Sufism. So the Sheikh, he says, that the minhaj, may Allah bless you, is built upon the aqidah. So whoever's aqidah is sound, then his minhaj will be sound without doubt. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he mentioned the splitting of the ummah into 73 sects, all of them in the fire except for one, the companion said, which one is it, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he replied, whoever is upon the like of I and my companions are upon. Then Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he said, so his saying, whoever is upon the like of I and my companions are upon, meaning in aqidah and minhaj, and in action, and in everything. And it is not possible for this, meaning the aqidah, and this, meaning minhaj, to be divergent. A person, in other words, that's the end of the Sheikh's statement, now this is mine. A person, in other words, cannot be Salafi in his aqidah and be ikhwani. A person cannot be Salafi in his aqidah and be i'tisami. A person cannot be Salafi in his aqidah and be tahriri. A person cannot be Salafi in his aqidah and be tablighi. It's like oil and water. They cannot mix. So Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he says, so for example, the Ikhwanis, the Tablighis, the Islahis, and other than them, if their minhaj does not oppose the Sharia, then there is no problem in it. And if it opposes the Sharia, then it necessarily arises from opposition in the aqidah, because every action has an intention. And when a person takes a minhaj that opposes the minhaj of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his rightly guided caliphs, then its meaning is that his aqidah is not sound. Otherwise, when the aqidah is sound, the minhaj too will be sound. And lastly, before we go back to the book, inshallah, and once again, this is going to be shorter, inshallah, than the past day and a half. This was an istinbat, an extraction, an extrapolation by the noble Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his tafsir of the ayah from the book of Allah, وَلَن تَرَضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى. In Surah Al-Baqarah. Listen to the statement of Imam al-Shawkani in his tafsir Fathul Qadir. And we'll bring the English translation for sake of time. The interpretation of the meaning of the ayah, and never will the Jews or the Christians approve of you until you follow their religion. Say, indeed, the guidance of Allah is the only guidance. If you were to follow their desires after what has come to you of knowledge, you would have against Allah no protector or helper. This is Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse 120. And we'd like to make a point that I heard Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen say while in the Haram one night, during the month of Ramadan. He said, every single verse that talks about the disbelievers can be used for the Muslims, as long as you don't make takfir. Every single verse, when Allah is admonishing or warning and the like against the disbelievers, every single verse in the book of Allah can be used for the Muslims, as long as you don't make takfir. And if they exit from Islam, then of course, min babil awla, all the more intents and purposes, the verse applies. So there's not a verse that Allah mentions about the kuffar that can't be used for the deviant Muslims, the Muslims who are innovators, and the Muslims and all the Muslims who commit sins and atrocities against themselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam al-Shawkani said about this verse, in this verse is a severe threat that makes the hearts tremble and from which the hearts quiver, which makes it compulsory upon the people of knowledge who carry the proofs of Allah and those who arise with the task of explaining His legislative laws to abandon flattering the people of innovation who belong to the evil madhahib. Madhahib, plural for madhab. Those who desert acting upon the book and the sunnah and give precedence to pure opinion over them. Imam al-Shawkani continues, indeed, the majority of these individuals, even though they fake agreement and show the gentle side of their character. We'll stop right there, because this is a problem amongst the youth. The Salafis are too harsh. The Salafis have bad character. The Salafis don't treat us properly. The Salafis are not polite. The Salafis are this, the Salafis are that. So they leave. And they go to the other masajid of the people of innovations, and the people of misguidance, and the people of desires, and the people even sometimes of heresy. Because the Salafis, they say, are treating them harshly, or they don't have good character. First of all, like our Sheikh Falah Ismail just said recently when he was in the United States, what's worse, having bad character with your brother and sister in Islam, or having bad character with Allah? Having bad character with Allah. That's number one. Number two, we say to those Muslims who've been deluded and have self-bamboozlement, have fooled and duped themselves and using these weak as a spider web's house excuses that the Salafis are too harsh, so they go away from Salafiyya, the Salafis in Salafiyya, and go to the Hizbiyun. Would you say the same thing if we said nothing about the Salafis and we say the Muslims are too harsh? Are you going to go to church now? Are you going to go to the synagogues? Are you going to go to the Sikh and the Hindu temples because the Muslims in general are too harsh? So are you going to leave the Muslims and go to church now? Is that what you're going to do? The principle's the same. So these weak excuses that some of the Shabab are using are just that. They're weak. So now you're going to leave a person who may be green, as we say in the United States, he's as green as a pool table and twice as square. He's green, he doesn't know what's going on, he's new. And even if he's not so new, people are people. Some people are harsh, some people are impolite. But you can't attribute that to Salafiyya, and you can't attribute that to the Salafis. But let's say that that's the case. Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has already explained to us, has elucidated to us, has told us that it is better, it's more beloved to Allah, that mu'min who mixes with the people and is patient with their harm is better than the Muslim who doesn't mix with the people and is not patient with their harm. So how in the world can you believe that Salafiyya is the haqq? The ad-dawah to Salafiyya is that which is correct, and all other calls are batila. They're all false. How can you say that you know that with conviction and let the action of one or two or 50 people make you leave this blessed dawah which came down by way of revelation to go to somebody who's calling to takfir, who's calling to jihad without justification, who's calling to a hizb, to a party, to a group, who's calling to grave worship and the like, who's calling to whatever? How can you leave that and make yourself subject to catching rabies, as our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the people of deviation? They're like people who have rabies. And any of you know anything about the science of rabies? You know what it does to the nervous system and to that person's blood. If you're bitten by a bat, a rabbit bat, or a dog, or a coyote that has rabies, you know what it does to the human being. They start foaming at the mouth, they're Majnoon, crazy, running in the street like a scene from some Night of the Living Dead or something. That's what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is going to happen to you by mixing with the Hizbiyun. That's what's going to happen to you. Imam Ash-Shawkani, he says, in this verse is a severe threat that makes the hearts tremble and from which the hearts quiver, which makes it compulsory upon the people of knowledge who carry the proofs of Allah subhanahu and those who arise with the task of explaining his legislative laws to abandon flattering the people of innovation who belong to the evil madhahib, those who desert acting upon the book and the sunnah and give precedence to pure opinion over them. Indeed, the majority of these individuals, even though they feign agreement and show the gentle side of their character, nothing actually pleases them except that their innovation is followed. One enters and embraces their ways and is caught in their nets. This is not the statement of Sheikh Rabia. This is not the statement of Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi. This is not the statement of Sheikh Ubaid. This is not the statement of Sheikh Yahya al-Hajuri. This is not the statement of Muhammad ibn Hadi al-Mirkhali. This is the statement of Imam Ash-Shawkani. He's not living in our time. Exact same statements. Everything consistent. Ahl al-Sunnah consistent in their stance against mixing with the Hizbiyun, mixing with the Mubtadi'un, mixing with the Munharifun, mixing with the parties, the groups, the innovators, the deviants. The same kalam, nothing's changed. And what year, what century did Imam Ash-Shawkani die? What century, brothers? The 12th century. He died in the 12th century, over 200 years ago. Imam Ash-Shawkani, he says, if the scholar was to do this, if the scholar was to do this, after Allah has given him knowledge that allows him to recognize that the guidance of Allah is that which is found in the book and the sunnah of his messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not that which they are upon that consists of pure innovation, clear ignorance, ignoble opinion, and blind following on the edge of a bank about to collapse, then the individual who does this, meaning the scholar, will have no protector against Allah. We stop. if that's the case with a scholar, like Sheikh Rabia, when he was talking about, is it permissible, he posed the question rhetorically, is it permissible for the Salafi to go to a Hizbi masjid with the claim that he's going to give them dawah and to pull them to the right way? Sheikh Rabia, he said, no. For if you are not like Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, or Imam Ahmed, or Sheikh al-Albani, even if you're a scholar, Sheikh Rabia said. He said, for some scholars have a weak disposition and a soft constitution. And even some scholars shouldn't even go to a Hizbi masjid and try to sit with them and bring them. He said, even some scholars. He said, unless they are like Ibn Taymiyyah, or Imam Ahmed, or Al-Albani, then they can go. So how much more the layman who says, nothing's going to happen to me, you know, because I took my anti-rabies shot. I took my anti-rabies shot. I can sit with them. So if they bite me, nothing's going to happen. That's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger are telling us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam al-Shawkani, he says, if the scholar was to do this, after Allah has given him knowledge that allows him to recognize that the guidance of Allah is that which is found in the book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not that which they are upon that consists of pure innovation, clear ignorance, ignoble opinion, and blind following on the edge of a bank about to collapse, then the individual who does this will have no protector or helper against Allah. Whosoever is like this is forsaken for certainty and doomed without any doubt and reservation. End of the quote, the translated quote from Imam al-Shawkani. In other words, brothers and sisters, when the Hizbiyun, the people of desires and misguidance, try to get you to come, especially the student of knowledge and the caller. Especially the student of knowledge and the caller. When they call you up and say, brother so-and-so, can you come and speak at our masjid? Brother so-and-so, can you do the khutbah at our masjid? Brother so-and-so, can you do some classes at our masjid? What are they doing? They're trying to get the flowers to come to embellish the weeds. That's what they're doing. They're trying to get brownie points with the people so they can say, see, we got brother so-and-so. See, we got brother so-and-so. And so the people now come because they respect brother so-and-so upon Salafia. Like one of those people called me just recently and had another person on the phone, which he told me, of course, not sneakingly, trying to, brother Daoud is one of my mentors. He's one of my mentors and mashallah, Sheikh. Sheikh Dawood, he's thus and such, I want you to speak to him, blah, blah, blah. That was Abu Tawbah. Trying to make the person who's on the phone and other people, by quoting my name and mentioning my name in his classes, he's trying to make people think that everything is peaches and cream, and that we're all together, and that there's no problem. That's what they do. Because they're trying to get you to go their way. Just like Allah says in this book, and just like Imam al-Shawkani says, a person that said that they've now expunged from his sight when he was doing the tafsir of Surah Tabbat Yada Abi Lahabin wa Tab, and now they've deleted it, but we still have it. We still have the recording. Where when he gave the explanation of Surah Tawbah, that he called the linguistic explanation, he said that the meaning, to make us understand what is meant by Allah's statement, Tebbe, he said, is like Abu Lahab was saying to the Prophet, F you. So Allah said, F you to him. That's what Abu Tawba, that comes once a month to Khalid ibn Walid, said about Allah. And you flop to him and you embellish Salafiyyah. You embellish that masjid. Crowd and standing room only. This man said, Allah, he says, and I'm not trying to be vulgar, but he said it. Allah, it's like Allah said to him, F you. But no. What's the problem, Ahmed? It's a mistake. You have to understand the context. Like the brother said the other day, when we said Yusuf al-Qardawi said if Allah presented himself as a candidate, he wouldn't get that amount of votes. But you don't know the context. Brothers, wake up. Wake up. How can you honor people like this? How can you hold in esteem people like this and get close to them? You're going to get bit. And it's not going to be lupus. And it's not going to be syphilis. It's not going to be anything but what the Messenger of Allah said, like Kelb. Like Kelb. He said, rabies. You're going to get rabies. And the person that gets rabies, he doesn't know he has rabies. It just comes all of a sudden. And I know that some of you don't like what I'm saying. I know some of you like we say in America, you got rocks in your jaws and dynamite in your chest. But I'm going to speak the truth. Because I'm trying to warn you. You don't know what's happening. You don't understand the affairs. We are living in times of fitna. And we have to call a spade a spade. We have to make a distinction. When that woman came to Aisha, radiallahu ta'ala anha, she applied a title, a label to that woman. When that woman asked, do we have to make up our prayers after menses? She said, Ahururiyatu anti? Are you one of those Khawarij women? She immediately delineated and separated herself from that woman in her aqidah and minhaj. Are you one of those Khawarij women? Why? Because the Salafi has to have tamayyuz and tamayyuz. The Salafi has to have tamayyuz and tamayyuz. He has to have distinction in his aqidah and minhaj, and he has to have differentiation in his suluk, in his comportment. He has to make himself distinct in his belief and methodology, and he has to make himself distinct from the people who have gone astray. Because that was the job of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah said, that one of the attributes of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was al-mufarriq. That's what Shaykh Nasir said. That one of the attributes of the Messenger of Allah is sallallahu alaihi wasallam is al-mufarriq. The one who divides. Not the one who brings unity. The one who divides. Because you have to bring division before you can bring unity. What's the division? La ilaha illallah. There has to be negation before there can be affirmation. There has to be separation before there can be unity. Why? It's because you can't make the minhaj wasi'. You can't make it wide where everybody's included. That's why the great scholars of the past, Imam al-Shatibi and others, they have stated, like Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, we do not say that a man is naturally upon the sunnah. No. That's something that has to come. Because the nature of the human being is that he's not upon adala. The nature of the human being is that he's treacherous. That's the nature of a human being. The nature of the human being, the base of the human being, is that he's he's ignorant and he's an oppressor of himself. That's the nature of the human being. There's something that has to be developed. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the book, gave us Islam and gave us the sunnah, so that we can make those things distinct from those people who are upon something else. So with that, inshallah, we want to finish, inshallah, from this noble book, from Imam al-Barbahari, inshallah ta'ala. We left off with the statement of Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah ta'ala on page 26 in the English translation. It is not something left to the intellect and opinions of men. Knowledge of it is what comes from Allah and His Messenger. So do not follow anything based upon your desires, and so deviate away from the religion and leave Islam. There will be no excuse for you, since Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the sunnah to his ummah and made it clear to his companions, and they are the jama'ah, and they are the main body, as-sawadul a'zam, and the main body is the truth and its followers. So he who contradicts the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any of the affairs of the religion, then he has fallen into disbelief. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, about that statement of Imam Al-Barbahari rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, فَتَمْرُقَ مِنَ الدِّينِ فَتَخْرُجَ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ. That person, he exits from the deen and he exits, or you will exit from the deen and exit from Islam. The Shaykh, he says, that is Saleh Fawzan, مَنْ اتَّبَعَ هَوَىٰ فَإِنَّهُ يَمْرُقُ مِنَ الدِّينِ وَلَوْ عَلَى الْمَدَى الْبَعِيدِ أول شيء يتساهل في المخالفة والهوى ثم يتعاظم اتباع الهوى إلى أن يخرج من الدين فيصير دينه هوى كما قال جل وعلا أفرأيت من اتخذ إله هواه وأضله الله على علم وختم على سمعه وقلبه وجعل بصيره غشاوة. Sheikh Saleh Fawzani says that whoever follows his desires, then indeed he will exit from or deviate from the deen. He will deviate from the deen. He says, and the first thing is that he becomes laxed with regards to those things that are in opposition and with desires. And then he will aggrandize. He will hold in high esteem those who follow their desires to the point that he now will exit from the religion. So his religion will now become his desires. His religion will now become his desires. As Allah, the interpretation of the meaning of the verse in Surah Al-Jathiyah, ayah number 23, then we have put you on a plain way of our commandment. So follow you that and follow not the desires of those who know. And then Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, Habibullah Ta'ala, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, he means, فَالْهَوَى إِلَهٌ آخَرٌ وَلَيْسَ الشِّرْكُ مَقْصُورًا عَلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ الصَّلَمْ أَوْ الْوَثَنْ بَلْ هُنَاكَ شَيْءٌ آخَرٌ وَهُوَ الْهَوَى. He says, so the desires is another God. The desires, meaning from this verse, is another God. And shirk is not limited nor restricted to the worship of idols, whether they are tangible, al-asnam, as-salam, al-weapon. That shirk is not limited to the worship of tangible or intangible idols. He said, but rather, here is something else. And that is desires. He says, فَقَدْ لَا يَعْبُدُ الْإِنسَانُ أَصْنَامُ وَالْأَشْجَارُ وَالْأَحْجَارُ وَلَا يَعْبُدُ الْقُبُورُ لَكِنْ يَتَّبِعُ هَوَى فَهَذَا عَبْدٌ لِهَوَاهُ فَعَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَحْذَرَ وَلَا يَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا وَافَقُ الْكِتَابَ وَالسُّنَّةِ. Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzani says, so, the human being, he may not worship idols. He may not worship trees. He may not worship stones. He may not worship graves. But he may follow his desires. He follows his desires, so therefore he becomes a slave to his desires. So it is incumbent upon the human being to beware and not follow anything except that which agrees with the book and the sunnah. And we're going to end it here, inshallah. This is what we wanted to say, even though there's much more. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحابه وسلم. Inshallah.
Jazakumullahu khair. All right, inshallah, we're going to take some questions. The format that we're going to take questions, the sisters, they can write their questions down. The brothers, they can pass up some papers too, if you don't mind. And online, you can type in the chat screen. The format will be one from the sisters, one from the brothers locally, and then one online. And inshallah, we'll extend as much as we can, inshallah.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillahi wa ba'd. This question is in regards to the events of late that have been occurring in some of the Muslim lands. What is the correct sentiment and appropriate action that a Salafi should have about and or towards those people that have died while openly protesting against the Muslim ruler, i.e. that is, killed by the army and so on? What we should do is what we should do with any Muslim. We should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them, to have mercy on them, and place them in Jannah. To forgive them, have mercy on them, and place them in Jannah for those who have died. And for those who have followed the way and a path other than the believers, if we are distant from them geographically, we should make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them to the way of Ahl Sunnah and the correct manhaj methodology. And if we're close to them, then we should advise them. We should advise them. We should advise them because ad-deenu nasiha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. There are a lot of speculation about such and such person is to not be listened to many times, to the point that I don't know who to listen to, even though I know that the sheikh or imam or scholar of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, on Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, how do I know who to listen to and not to listen to? I myself, I'm a learning and practicing Muslim. This causes many confusion. I'm worried to fall into bid'ah. What can I do? What do I do when most sheikhs, imams, or scholars that made me come closer to Islam are being rejected? You should make the dua that Salama, our mother, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, said that she used to hear mostly applied or said in her house, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. O controller of the hearts, make my heart firm in your deen. This is the dua you should make. And you should know that the religion is not determined by men, but rather in the, or the truth. But the truth, the men are not the determining factor for the truth, but rather the truth is not determined by men, but men are determined by the truth. So if you ask Allah to guide you to that which is true, then the people of truth will be clear to you. If you ask Allah to guide you to the truth, then the people of truth will be clear to you. Based on the current events around the world, that is high food price, earthquakes, lots of killings, tsunami, is the time of Imam Mahdi near, who is among the first major signs of the Day of Judgment? Jazakallahu khairan. Ameen wa ayakum. And I would say, yes. The answer is yes. It's clear. It's clear. But it definitely won't be May 12th. I think that went above some people's heads. Because that's an American thing, you know. I know and understand the wisdom behind abandoning the circles of bid'ah. As for the blind followers of these groups, how do they learn the truth? They learn the truth the same way that we learn the truth. Every single person, it is incumbent upon him to seek knowledge. Our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith that is collected by Imam Ahmad and his Muslim and others, طالب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. And as for the narration, it says, فريضة على كل مسلم ومسلمة, then it is ضعيف. It is ضعيف and it is nad. That seeking knowledge is incumbent upon every Muslim. As for the one that says every male and female Muslim, then it is weak. Nonetheless, it is incumbent upon every Muslim to seek knowledge. We have to understand, brothers and sisters, if a disbeliever desires to be guided, you don't think Allah is going to guide them? Of course He's going to guide them. As a kafir. So how much more a Muslim? If you truly desire to be guided and your affairs to be corrected, and be upon that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, all you have to do is call on Allah and move towards it. But you have to call on Allah and move towards it with the understanding of how the Sahaba and those two succeeding generations learned it from the Messenger of Allah, by way of the companions, from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because there is no other way. Any other way is following something that is from your own desires. After apostasy, what does one need to do if they ever desire to enter back into Islam? Simply come back to Islam. Just reaffirm the Shahada and begin to do those things that Muslims do. Can I pray in Khalid ibn Walid, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, as per your advice? Or now they split, and the split is Darul Hijra on Kipling Avenue? Yes, we are aware of that. First of all, there's no Salafi that has even an inkling of knowledge and understands the minhaj of the Salaf that's going to say that you can't pray in Khalid ibn Walid. What Salafi is going to say that has knowledge? No one. Someone who does it, who's maybe ignorant, who's Salafi, is going to say that. But no Salafi is going to say you can't pray in Masjid Khalid ibn Walid. Who's going to say that? Unless he just doesn't understand. There are very explicit guidelines on the masajid that you can't pray in. One of them is what? A masjid that has a what? Has a grave. There are very few cases, very, very few, very few, of the masjid that you can't pray in. So if you're there, you live near there, you're driving past there, it's time for the prayer or not time for the prayer. What's the problem of praying in there? We're not saying they're disbelievers. Pray in there. The imam is not calling to that which takes him out of Islam. You can pray behind the imam. What's wrong with that? Or either one, please. Khalid ibn Walid or Darul Hijra. So these types of questions, I think that the people who are asking these types of questions are sincere. And I pray and hope that they're sincere when they're asking these questions. I believe that they're sincere, and I hope that they're sincere. No. Is it obligatory on us to call ourselves Salafi, or can we say we are upon the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah without attributing ourselves Salafi, even if we follow a Salafiyun? The question that I would ask, maybe one, maybe two, is there a problem with calling yourself Salafi? Why would a person not want to call themselves Salafi? The question specifically says, is it obligatory? I heard with my own ears Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin Albani rahimahullah say that when the Muslims all come on the same, the meaning, when they all come on the same page, when all the Muslims come on the same page, then it won't be necessary to call ourselves Salafi. But what is the shortest term, the smallest phrase or term that one can use to say what this questioner just said? Because that's a long thing. Sheikh Al-Albani said, will it be sufficient now to say you're Muslim? He said, no. Because why? Because Louis Farrakhan says that he is a Muslim. Shaquille O'Neal says that he's a Muslim. Mos Def says that he's a Muslim. David Chappelle says that he's a Muslim. Muammar Gaddafi says that he's a Muslim. Saddam Hussein said that he was a Muslim. So how do you distinguish yourself from them? So-and-so says he's Sunni. So-and-so said he's Sunni. So how do you differentiate? How do you make the tafriq? How do you make the tamayyuz and the tamayyuz? How do you make the distinction and the differentiation between those who say they are Muslim Sunni and they follow this and follow that? You simply say that you're a Salafi. But now we have a bigger problem that maybe Sheikh Al-Albani foresaw or didn't foresee. And that is, we have Hizbiyun that are now calling themselves Salafi. That's a big problem. And for that, I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer for that one. All I can say is, Allahu musta'an wa alayhi tuklan. What is your opinion about Abu Shahada? I would hope that the person be more specific, because I don't have opinions about people. It's rare that I have an opinion about people. Usually, if I have, for sake of conversation, an opinion about somebody, it's because I have hard, cold facts, and then it's no longer an opinion. Because that's the way he really is. It's not an opinion. I don't have an opinion that this is a microphone. It's clear to me it's a microphone. So I'm going to say it's a microphone. I'm not going to say it's a grapefruit. So if you specifically want to know from your brother Dawood Adib what's my opinion about Abu Shahada, then I don't have an opinion. I don't have an opinion. Now, if you want to be specific, you can cite something, and then we all can have an opinion. Just tell me what he's doing. And then we all can have an opinion about him together. So it won't be on Brother Dawood Adib. Now, a sister is living in a riba house. I didn't even know if they had riba houses. They have riba houses in Canada? Or you mean a house that's purchased on riba? I was going to say the wall is riba, the floor is riba, the ceiling is riba, the lights are riba, the water that comes out of the faucet is riba. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Can't even walk. You got to float like a Sufi. Can't even touch on the. You can't even step, walk on the floor if you're in a house or river. A sister is living in a river house, which her husband refused to get rid of. He is also involved with credit cards and cheating the government with certain matters to get as much money as he can. The husband has a very good job and refuses to give up his actions. Is there any advice to this? She wants a khula because she has been patient over a decade and tried to advise him over the years. She wants to leave him for the sake of Allah. For those of you who know Brother Dawood well, you know what I'm going to say about this question. I do not answer questions like this because there's always some things lurking in the background. I don't answer questions like this because this involves a man being separated from his wife. I don't mess with those questions. No. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid you, sister.
I have to rewrite this because I didn't think you could read that.
A brother told me that the brothers...
Can you read from here? I just rewrote it.
A brother I know told me that the brothers at Troyd make taqleed of Sheikh Rabia. He also says that QSS makes taqleed of the Jordanians. But he says he follows Ibn Baz or Uthaymeen al-Bani. What do you say? Listen to this statement. And I was present when this statement was made. I was sitting in the masjid when this statement was made. Sheikh Rabia, in our view, is a minha. He's a trial. He's a test in this time of ours. Sheikh Rabia is a minha, just like Imam Ahmed. And naturally, Imam Ahmed is greater than Sheikh Rabia. But this is because one era, E-R-A, one time period, differs from another time period. So Imam Ahmed during his time, then his example, meaning Imam Ahmed's example in our time is Sheikh Rabia. So we say Sheikh Rabia is not just an individual. Sheikh Rabia, in our view, is a complete manhaj. Sheikh Rabia is the carrier of the flag of Jarh wa Ta'dil in these times, as has been said by Sheikh Al-Albani. So the one who speaks about Sheikh Rabia, in our view, then he's not a Salafi. He is not, he repeats, he is not a Salafi. Even if he claims that, he is not a Salafi. We do not declare him a disbeliever, but he is not a Salafi, because if he was a Salafi, then he would have, and then the words were unclear from the recording, that he would have that Sheikh Rabia, meaning he would know, because I was there, so I know it was clipped out, they couldn't understand it, but I was there. He would know for surety that Sheikh Rabia's manhaj is Salafi, pure and clear, with no impurities. The problem, the person says, is that Sheikh Rabia is truthful. He does not lie, nor does he fabricate, or nor does he compromise. Or flatter. I was there when he said this. You know who said this? Anybody know? Usama al-Qusi. Usama al-Qusi said this. I was sitting in Ain Shams in the masjid when he said this. Do we make taqlid of Sheikh Rabia? I just said in these talks, right here, even if Sheikh Rabia, even if Abu Bakr says something without dalil, then we're not going to say that. Didn't I just say that? I just said that, right? When was it? Yesterday? Or today? Today I said that. So how can we be blind followers of Sheikh Rabia? But pertaining to this statement that Osama al-Qusi said, this is a deep statement. Because now he says the opposite. So is he Salafi? It's like, please forgive me, it's for those who are Christians and used to be into the Bible like me, there's something in the Bible called Epidemenes Paradox. It says all Cretans are liars. And the person who said it was a Cretan. All Cretans are liars. But the person who said it was a Cretan. So is he a liar? Yeah. Huh? So he said, whoever says Sheikh Rabi is such and such, then he's not a Salafi. And now he's saying such and such. Is he Salafi? According to his own words. No. Yesterday you mentioned that participating in interfaith dialogues may lead to apostasy. I have relatives and friends who are currently engaged in these types of dialogues. Can you direct me to where I may find the proofs for this? Or can you briefly list some? I can give you two sources, inshallah, one in Arabic and one in English. One in Arabic is a treatise that was written by Sheikh Muhammad al-Imam in Yemen. It's very nice. And one in English that you can find online is from Saleh al-Saleh, rahimahullah, on interfaith dialogues. Sheikh Abdul Aziz al-Rajihi, hafizahullah, he says that these things pertaining to interfaith dialogues is a call to riddah. It is a call to apostasy. I don't know of any of the scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah who say other than that. By the way, Ali al-Halabi says something else today about this. He has a different view. He has a different opinion these days. I was shocked when I read what Ali al-Halabi said about interfaith dialogues. I was shocked. And we heard the recording with our own ears. But somebody, of course, like the Yusuf al-Qardawi thing, they're going to say, but what context did he say it in? And what did he really mean? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What is your advice concerning what is your advice to the sisters concerning Shadid Muhammad, Yasir Qadi, and others who focus on women's topics and sisterhood so they fall in love with these speakers and follow their aqidah? Kumail ibn Uziyad, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that one day Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, took him by the hand and he took him off into the desert. He said when they reached into the desert, he sat down and he took a deep breath and then he said, O Kumail ibn Uziyad. He said, the hearts are receptacles. So the best of them is the one which preserves the best. And then he said, An-nas thalatha. People are of three types. Fa'alimun rabbani. That's the first type. Wa muta'allimun ala sabil najat. That's the second type. Wa hamajun raw'a ittiba'a kulli na'iqin yamiluna ma'a kulli rih lam yastadi'u bi nur al-'ilm wa lam yalja'u ruknan wathiq ila ruknan wathiq. He said the people are of three types: the scholar who acts in accordance to his knowledge, and he teaches the people what they need to learn at the proper time that they need to learn it, not giving them the major things first, but giving them the minor things until they graduate. And the seeker, the student of knowledge, who is upon the path of salvation. And the third type of person is the hamaj, rawa, the person who's rabble, the person who listens to every single ignorant caller when they call, and he flows with the wind. If the wind goes this way, he goes that way. If the wind goes that way, he goes that way. And he has no light of knowledge that he used to illuminate his way. Nor is he upon leaning upon a firm handhold or pillar. It's crystal clear with regards to Yasir Qadhi, because Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hadi, in front of more than 50 students at Medina University in the masjid of the College of Hadith, he said, listen to me clearly. He said, Yasir Qadhi is a Hizbi. He said, do you understand what I'm saying, students? Yasir Qadhi is a Hizbi. So that's clear. And it was clear to me because I know him. As for Shadid Muhammad, Sheikh Ubaid Al-Jabiri, Habibullah, he said he's dal mudil. He's dal mudil. He's astray and he's leading others astray. When Sheikh Rabi' read the points that Shadid Muhammad had mentioned, and there were many, and he only read five out of 40 points, he said, "Ma hadha illa manhaj Abi al-Hasan al-Wasi'." He said, this right here is nothing but the wide, expansive methodology of Abu Hassan al-Ma'rabi. Just 5 points from 40, he said that. Now, I know Shadid Muhammad is young. You know, he's pumped up, strapped, you know. I know that he's handsome. He has charisma. He speaks about the women's, you know, rights and this and that. What can I say? What do you want me to say? Huh? What do you want me to say? What can I say? Those ulama have already spoken. So what am I supposed to say? All we can say is, don't drink the Kool-Aid. Now maybe you brothers and sisters may not understand what I'm talking about. What am I talking about when I say don't drink the Kool-Aid? Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? You're too young to remember. What do I mean by don't drink the Kool-Aid? Jim Jones of Guyana. Go back, do some research on it. Jim Jones of Guyana.
They got it online, all the Americans.
All the Americans got it, right? Don't drink the Kool-Aid. You remember the history of Jim Jones? Am I saying that Shadid and Yasir Qadhi are the leaders of a cult? No, you understand what I'm saying. So now it's going to go on ahya.org and you're going to put on there, Dawood Adib said that Shadid Muhammad is a leader of a cult and Yasir Qadhi is the leader of a cult and he's saying that they're this and they're that or they're kafirs. That's not what I'm saying. I'm using it as a principle. In other words, don't fall into the trap and drink what they're presenting so that you'll be poisoned. That's what I'm saying. So it's clear, inshallah. What is the stance of the ulama on QSS and Halabi currently? Some say the Jordanians are the inheritors of Al-Albani, the imam of his time. So to abandon them is to abandon Al-Albani's minhaj and legacy. Whoever's saying that, it's clear that they don't understand. Just because somebody came after somebody and you say they inherited whatever they left, that means you have to follow them just because of that? Is that the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is that the manhaj of the Salaf? Listen, before Sheikh Rabia said what he said about Ali Hassan al-Halabi, before he made tabdir, and just like or very similar to Abu Hassan al-Ma'rabi, he was very, very patient. Very patient, like he is with all of those people. I myself was with Mustafa al-Adawi from Egypt, one of the students of Sheikh Muqbil. I myself was on the second floor one year, right behind the Mizab, the drain that comes, that gold drain that comes out of the Kaaba, from the roof of the Kaaba. Because that's where Mustafa al-Adawi has been going for at least the past 20, maybe 30 years, 20, 22 years, 25 years. That's where he meets every Ramadan with the people who are with him. And I used to sit with him. He was one of my teachers. And he said to me around 12 o'clock in the morning after Taraweeh, he said, "Dawood, you want to go to Sheikh Rabia's house?" I said, "Sheikh, come on, let's go." So we got in the cab and went to Sheikh Rabia's house. We sat at the door where the people come in and the Sheikh is sitting. Who's ever been to his house, they know what I'm talking about. And the couch is like this in his library. And the Sheikh didn't see because that part of the house, that part of the room is dim. It's very dark. Not very dark, but it's dim. The lighting is not good here. The lighting is where the Sheikh sits. Habibullah. So somebody leaned over, because I was sitting right here, and to my left was Mustafa al-Adawi. Somebody leaned over and said, Sheikh Mustafa al-Adawi is here. He said, where? Just like that. And we know what Mustafa al-Adawi is upon right now, and I didn't know what he was upon then. When I was with him, he said, where? He says, tell him to come. And he told the person to move over. And the Sheikh Rabia took his hand like this. I'll never forget his right hand. He took his hand like that and he wiped the couch and said, let him sit down. And then Mustafa al-Adawi said, no, like this, no. And so they kept talking. And then the person said again, Sheikh Mustafa is here. So he told him to come up. And the person moved over and Sheikh Rabia, Habibullah, with his patience and his kindness, knowing what Mustafa al-Adawi is upon, he sat him right to his right shoulder. Right to his right shoulder. When people began to disperse, I started talking to some brothers. And I think Musa Richardson was there. I don't remember. I think he was there. I started talking to some brothers on the side. And then Mustafa al-Adawi, when he finished talking to the Sheikh by himself in private, he said, Abu Tasneem, this is what he was calling me, Abu Tasneem, let's go. And I wasn't ready to go. He got in the cab, he went back to the Haram. The point is that the Sheikh was patient with Mustafa al-Adawi. And for years, just like Abu Hassan al-Ma'rabi and Ali Hassan al-Halabi, he was patient with them. SubhanAllah, brothers, Abu Hassan al-Ma'rabi, and we're getting to al-Halabi. We're getting to the Jordanians. Just be patient. Abu Hassan al-Ma'rabi, the Sheikh was advising him for at least a decade. Close to a decade. Do you know, and for any of you who have ever seen Abu Hassan al-Ma'rabi, I'm 6'1", brothers. And so I'm kind of big. I weigh close to 250. Abu Hassan al-Ma'rabi is taller than myself and bigger. He's big. Marabi's big. He was in the Sheikh's house. And the Sheikh was sitting down. He stood up belligerently. And the Sheikh was advising him. And the Sheikh just tugged on his thawb just a little bit. Sit down. The Sheikh is 80-something years old. At this time, he was 70-something years old. He's 80-something years old. Abu Hassan al-Ma'rabi snatched his thawb out of the hand of the Sheikh and started screaming and walked out. Don't talk about Sheikh Rabia not being patient. Don't tell me that. I know him. Don't tell me that Sheikh Rabi is not patient with people. He was patient with Ali Hassan al-Halabi when he started seeing things. Just like I myself and Abu Waiz used to see things. But we always had sukut. Because we were in some of those private meetings at QSS. Because I was with QSS since 1982. Since 1982. There wasn't even a QSS in Canada. I was there from the beginning with Mahmoud Murad, the first president. Muhammad al-Jibali, the second president. And Abdul Munim. You can't tell me about QSS. I was there behind closed doors with Salim al-Hilali and Hisham Arif and Adnan Ar-Or and Muhammad Safwat Nuruddin and Ali Hassan al-Halabi and Muhammad Hassan. I was there. You weren't there. I heard things with my own ears, and so did Abu Waiz, rahimahullah. I was behind those doors in those hotel rooms, and we used to hear things. And we just were silent. You can't tell me about Ali Hassan al-Halabi. You don't know him. You can't tell me about Osama al-Qusi because you don't know him. Before you knew about him, we were the ones that brought him to America. You can't tell us about him. You need to keep your mouth shut. That's what you need to do. You need to keep your mouth shut. So before Sheikh Rabia made tabdir on Ali Hassan al-Halabi, before he said he was an innovator, Sheikh Abdullah Hudayan, 4.5 years before Sheikh Rabia said he was an innovator, when the brothers from Algeria, and we have the recording, Sheikh Abdullah Hudayan was asked by the brothers from Algeria, and this is where we're going to end it, inshallah. Can we take from Ali Hassan al-Halabi? He said, no, no, because he's the one that introduced, brought irja' to the kingdom. The beliefs, the madhabs of the murji'ah. The madhab of the murji'ah. That was Abdullah Hudayan 5 years before Sheikh Rabia said he was an innovator. Sheikh Rabia was patient. And the lesson to Da'ima, the permanent committee, was Sheikh Saleh Fawzan himself. They made the fatwa on those two books that Ali al-Halabi wrote and the book Khalid al-Ambari wrote on takfir. But now people are going to come behind and say, yeah, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan was sick when they brought the book to him. He really wasn't well, so he didn't really read it. Do you really think that Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, sick or not, is going to make a verdict on something that he didn't fully read? Sheikh Rabia was patient with Abdul Rahman Abdul Khaliq. The first Salafi conference in the United States history of Salafia, I was there. Ali Tamimi was there. Idris Palmer was there. Jamal Zorbozo, to the best of my memory, was there. Abu Uwais, rahimahullah, was there. It was in 1982. That was the first Salafi conference. And Abdul Rahman Abdul Khaliq was there with us in the state of Maryland. So when you start yapping at your mouths and saying, this person, the Jordanians and the legacy and all that, you don't know what you're talking about. You weren't even around. Some of you weren't even born. Some of you weren't even born. How are you going to talk? من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خير أو ليسكت وفي رواية أو ليصمت. Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, let him speak good or shut up. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.